over the last 3 weeks, we've talked about heaven and how to get to heaven. And last week, I felt like we took a little brief detour. Because if we talk about heaven, I felt like we needed also talk about hell, which is not a fun subject to talk about. We did that last week. But now we are in John 14 again. And as you remember, when we were in John 14, we noticed that when we were in our journey in John 14, that Jesus did not only talk about how to get to about heaven and how to get to heaven, but Jesus wanted to reveal who he was. And you see that in John 14, 6, when he says to his disciples, when he answers Thomas's question about, we don't know the way, we don't know how to get to where you're going. And Jesus looks at him and says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And what he was saying to them, if you want to get to heaven, I'm the way. If you want the truth, to know what's true, I am the truth. If you want life, I am your life. I'm everything you need. And that's what he was saying to his disciples. And it forces me to ask the question to all of us today. Is Jesus your truth? Is he your life? Does he occupy your thoughts throughout the week? Are you searching more to know him in a deeper way? Do you find your purpose and meaning in life in Jesus? Does he fill you with his life when you feel there is no life? When you face temptations, do you run to Jesus? When you face financial struggles, is he the first one that you want to run to instead of a family member or friend? Because Jesus wants to be your and my everything. Listen to the words of Peter about Jesus wanting to give us life in 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4. It says this, listen to this, a powerful passage of Scripture. As Peter says, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which had been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. His divine power is ours in Christ. Through his promises, and his word is full of his promises. Is Jesus your life? Is he your truth today? It's a challenge for us to search our hearts before we have our communion, to search our hearts. So if you have your Bibles, let us continue through the Gospel of John in John chapter 14. We believe in the Word of God. We don't put up the scripture, the passages on the screen because we believe in reading God's Word and listening to God's Word. And so we recommend you bring your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, let me know. There's some Bibles out here in the by the front door you can take. You can have. They're New Testament Bibles. If you're looking for a whole Bible, let us know. But we believe in God's Word. John 14, verses 7 through 11. Let us read the Word of God today. Where Jesus says to his disciples, if you have known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So we see in this passage where Philip asked Jesus, there's a question around the Father. But first, Jesus brings up the subject of his Father, of my Father. A very familiar subject to the disciples. From the very beginning of Jesus' ministry to that point, so it's been about 3 years, Jesus has talked over and over about the Father. And he's used such statements in the Gospel of John as, for example, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working, John 5:17. Or, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, John 5:20. Or, the Father has life in himself, John 5:26. And the Father himself who sent me testifies of me, John 5:37. And then Jesus said, I and my Father are one, John 10:30. And there's many more times when Jesus brought up the Father. So from the very beginning, Jesus talked about his Father. And as you can imagine, at this point, his disciples knew about the Father. They've been hearing about him from Jesus for the last 3 years. And at this point, you can imagine there's a desire in their heart to know this Father, this kind of this faraway person that Jesus has been talking about, this mysterious individual. And as you can see in this passage, you could see this hunger through Philip's response. And when Jesus says, oh, you've seen him and know him, what is Philip's response? We see in verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you do see him and know him. And then look at Philip's response. The hunger you see in his response in verse 8. Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Show us the Father. Do you hear what Philip is asking Jesus? Jesus, I want to know this Father that you've been talking so much about. I want to know him. And by knowing him, my life will be full. It will be complete to know your Father. Can you see his hunger? Can you see his desire in that very question, the yearning to know the Father that Jesus has talked about and says, he's your Father as well. Show us the Father. You know, this request of Philip reminds me of a story in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 33. And the story in the Old Testament that it reminds me of is when Moses is on Mount Sinai. He's pleading with God that his presence would be among the Israelite people. Because just before that, the Israelites turned from God and they began worshiping this golden calf. And Moses came down and he broke the Ten Commandments in anger. So Moses is with God on the mountain. He's pleading with God. God, I want your presence to come with us. And we see in that passage where God goes to Moses, Moses, my presence is with you. My presence is with you, Moses. And I will give you, Moses, rest. But that was not enough for Moses. Moses is pleading. I want you not to be with us only, but with me only, but with the people of Israel. And he desperately pleaded for God's presence to go with them. And at last, God promises that he will be with Israelite people. So we see Moses now relieved by God's promise. And then something spills up within Moses in Exodus 33. A bold and daring request, just like Philip. He says in Exodus 33:18, listen to this. Listen to the passion, hunger, and thirst. Moses before God, please show me your glory. Show me who you are. I want to know you. I want this. He wants to know God. And God grants Moses' request, maybe I'll say partially, right? Because God says, okay, what I'll do is you're going to come up, I'm going to put you in this rock, in the cleft of a rock, and I will have my presence pass before you. My hand will be over you. I will remove my hand, but you're only going to see my back because no one can see my face and live. So God partially answered his request. If he really answered him, he'd be consumed because no one has ever seen God in his glory fully. But it reminds me of Philip's request. Show us the Father. Show us the Father. Show me your glory. And God answered partially. Show me the Father. And Jesus' response is saying, you've seen him. You've seen the Father. And then Jesus responds in verse 9 to his request. Have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip, in verse 9? And as you can imagine, Philip, at this point, I want to ask about the I know you, but I'm talking about the Father here. And then Jesus says in verse 9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is wanting Philip and the other disciples to know, when you see me, you see the Father. When you know me, you know the Father. And this incredible truth revealed to Philip and the other disciples far precedes what Moses experienced when he saw God's back. Because Philip was with Jesus. He saw Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He touched Jesus. He heard Jesus' teaching. He saw how Jesus lived. Philip knew Jesus. And through knowing Jesus, he already knew the heart of a Father. God, he knew the Father. He knew the Father. Jesus didn't have to answer his request. Instead, he was telling him, you know the Father. He's right here. Listen to the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 1. Listen to this. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he sat down by himself, purged our sins, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. If we want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. Does God get angry? Look at Jesus. Does God weep? Look at Jesus. There's so many things we can know about the Father. We just look at Jesus. Look at him. And I have a question this morning. Do you relate at all to the question of Philip in your life? Do you relate at all with the desire and inward hunger to know the Father, to know Jesus? To know him in a more intimate way. If you were to rate yourself on a scale, 10 to 1, 10 being, oh, I am madly in love with Jesus, with God, and he consumes my every moment, to nothing. If you were to rate from 1 to 10 on your desire to know, Jesus, to know God, how would you rate yourself on that? Because it is a very important and serious question this morning. If you don't have a desire to know Jesus like Philip did, to know the Father, and by knowing the Father, you know Jesus, by knowing Jesus, you know the Father, they are one. If you don't have a desire to know Jesus, something is seriously wrong. Now, I understand. Now, let me say a little disclaimer here. I understand there's seasons of life where you are in the darkness and you feel God is not there at all. That happens. That happens when you there's no desire. It's darkness is around you. God seems so far away. There's seasons of life, and I get that. But what I'm saying here is if you look at when you gave your life to Jesus to where you are right now, when you look over the whole thing, it should not be the whole thing. You would see moments of the Christian walk in the journey where you have this consuming inward passion to know Him. But if you look at it and there's, oh, I give my life to the Lord, here's the desire to know Him, to walk with Him, is nilch. It's a serious problem. Or if you stay in that area for too long, it can be serious. We need a hunger and thirst for Him, even if it's little. It's important for us to pursue Him. He's always pursuing us. But it's very important. Because if there is no desire there for God at all, the question is, have you truly believed and surrendered your heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Because when you make Him part of your life, even in the hard times, when you look deep inside, you see that hunger and thirst like Philip. Show us the Father. Show us Jesus. Or maybe today you have a hunger to know Jesus, but it's barely there. Your desire for Him is like a smoldering fire just ready to go out. It's dying. Your life hasn't turned out what you expected it to be. Your dreams have fallen along the wayside of life. You've had too much heartache or tragedy. And sometimes you just wonder if it's even worth living at all. Today, Jesus wants you to know that He has not finished with you. He has a plan for your life. He's in love with you, and He's not given up on you. Do you know that today? Do you know that today? Because He wants to infuse you with resurrection life. He wants to infuse you with Himself. Will you ask this morning as we get ready to have the communion, Lord, ignite a passion for You in me. In me. Because if you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, do you realize that you have the answer that so many people have been searching for? Hasn't the question of what God is like been discussed and debated through the centuries? And you can find books upon books surrounding this subject. And even if you look into the different world religions, you'll see them attempting to answer these questions. What is God like? What does God expect from us? And it even seems that it's even hardwired in the very human heart, a deep longing and desire for something more to this life. People are searching for truth. And I want you guys to know this morning, you know what God is like. Because if you know Jesus, He's God. And you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. We have the answer. We have it. What people have been searching for, we have the answer. People are looking for God. Do you remember the song that came out in 1995 called One of Us, sang by Gene Osborne? You guys remember that song? Listen to some of the lyrics. If God, quote, if God had a name, what would it be? And would you call it to His face? Unquote. And the main chorus goes like this. Quote, what if God was one of us, just like a slob like one of us, just a stranger on the bus trying to make His way home? So you can see people have different thoughts of God. People are wondering things about God. What is God like? And they don't even know that they're inwardly longing for Him. We have the answer. We know what the Father is like. It's Jesus. And we have the privilege to tell others about Jesus. And we have the honor to reflect Him in the way we live. And one way we reflect Him is through our desire. I asked earlier, do you desire to go after Him? Are you hungering after Him? If not, it's something that you need to deal with God and say, God, do a work in me. If we have the worship team come forward. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to hand out the elements. Wait until you have the juice and the bread in your hands. The elements are for a believer in Jesus Christ. If you do not know Jesus yet as your Lord and Savior, do not take the elements. Just let them pass by you. It is for the body of Christ. It's not for an unbeliever. But what we're going to do is if you take the elements, take the juice and the cracker, we'll take it together in just a moment. So if you have the elders come forward and hand out the elements, that'll be great. And as they hand out the elements this morning, a question for you guys. I want you to start searching your heart this morning and ask yourself, hey, is Jesus the passion of my life? And if He's not, before you take the elements, as you're holding on to the element, it's a time for you to search your heart with God and say, God, I want you to do something inside of me. And as you take those, everyone just close your eyes. When you get the elements, close your eyes and deal with God and ask Him to build that desire in your life so that you could tell other people what Jesus is like, what God is like. Search your hearts. And we'll have Doug go through the song. At the end of the song, after the elements are handed out, we will take them together. Let's do that.